This is In the News for January 19th, 2006. I'm Scott Bergwin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from The Independent in the United Kingdom, written by Steve Connor. Warmer seas will wipe out plankton, source of ocean life. The microscopic plants that underpin all life in the oceans are likely to be destroyed by global warming, a study has found. Scientists have discovered a way that the vital plankton of the oceans can be starved of nutrients as a result of the seas getting warmer. They believe the findings have catastrophic implications for the entire marine habitat, which ultimately relies on plankton at the base of the food chain. The study is also potentially devastating because it has thrown up a new positive feedback mechanism that could result in more carbon dioxide ending up in the atmosphere to cause a runaway greenhouse effect. Scientists led by Jeff Huisman of the University of Amsterdam have calculated that global warming, which is causing the temperature of the sea surface to rise, will also interfere with the vital upward movement of nutrients from the deep sea. These nutrients, containing nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron, are vital food for phytoplankton. If the supply is interrupted, the plants die off, which prevents them from absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The professor said, quote, global warming of the surface layers of the oceans reduces the upward transport of nutrients into the surface layers. This generates chaos among the plankton, end quote. The sea is one of nature's, quote unquote, carbon sinks, which removes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and deposits the carbon in a long-term store, dissolved in the ocean or deposited as organic waste on the seabed. The vast quantities of phytoplankton in the oceans absorb huge amounts of carbon dioxide. When the organisms die, they fall to the seabed, carrying their store of carbon with them, where it stays for many thousands of years, thereby helping to counter global warming. Professor Huisman also said, quote, plankton forms the basis of marine food web. Moreover, phytoplankton consumes the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide during photosynthesis. Uptake of carbon dioxide by phytoplankton across the vast expanses of the oceans reduces the rising carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere, end quote. Warmer surface water caused by global warming causes greater temperature stratification, with warm surface layers sitting on deeper, colder layers to prevent mixing of nutrients. Professor Huisman shows in a study published in Nature that warmer sea surfaces will deliver a potentially devastating blow to the supply of deep sea nutrients for phytoplankton. For more on this article, go to The Independent, United Kingdom. We got this off of commondreams.org. Next up, from the Des Moines Register paper in Des Moines, Iowa, written by Philip Brasher. Report blasts oversight of test fields. Investigators say the USDA lacks details on what happens with pharma crops. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has failed to properly oversee field trials of genetically engineered crops, including plants designed to produce chemicals for medical and industrial uses, investigators say. A report released Thursday by the USDA, that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Inspector General, said the department, quote-unquote, lacks basic information on where field tests are or what is done with the crops after they are harvested. The report is the latest blow to prospects for developing an industry based on mass-producing pharmaceutical chemicals from genetically modified corn. Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack once called this idea the quote-unquote future of our state. During the Inspector General investigation, auditors found that two large harvests of pharmaceutical crops remained in storage at test sites without the USDA's knowledge or approval. The investigators also said that in 2003, the department failed to inspect fields of pharmaceutical crops with the frequency that officials said they would. The report said, quote, current USDA regulations, policies, and procedures do not go far enough to ensure the safe introduction of agricultural biotechnology, end quote. It continued, the report, quote, confirms the public's lack of confidence in the USDA to oversee pharmaceutical and industrial chemical crops. And this is according to Susan Perlman of the University of Concerned Scientists, an advocacy group that has been critical of the agricultural technology, biotechnology industry. USDA officials said they have made a number of improvements since the investigation was done, but disagree with some of the findings. Cindy Smith, Deputy Administrator for Biotechnology Regulatory Services in the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, said, quote, we were addressing many of the issues as they were looking at the same issues. End quote. She said violations cited in the report were minor. Also, the agency now does all the required inspections of pharma crop sites, including one last summer near Burlington, Iowa, she said. The department is heeding one of the Inspector General's suggestions and may make it mandatory. It says may make it mandatory for researchers to provide global positioning coordinates for test sites. Smith's staff has grown from 23 to 65 since it was established in 2002. The Agricultural Department oversaw 67,000 acres of biotech field trials in 2004, up from 8,700 in 1994. You can get more on this issue also by going to DesMoinesRegister.com. And finally today, from Interpress Service News Agencies at ipsnews.net, NGOs turn up pressure against water privatization. This is written by Stefania Bianchi. Some 10 development non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, have agreed on a plan of action to put optimal pressure on European Union negotiators as they make preparations for the World Water Forum to be held in Mexico City March 16th to 22nd. The forum, a key global event which aims to raise the awareness on water issues, will be hosted by the World Water Council, an international water policy think tank. The NGO consortium, which includes Corporate Europe Observatory, Bread for the World, Public Services International, and the Transnational Institute, fears that the WWC has a strong preference for water privatization, which the NGOs strongly oppose. Olivier Hodeman, research coordinator with the Dutch campaign group Corporate Europe Observatory, told IPS Thursday, quote, "The Mexico World Water Forum happens at a time when the tide is clearly turning against water privatization and the need to instead support public water solutions is becoming increasingly clear. Although the privatization wave has lost a lot of momentum in recent years due to the many failures, not least in cities and developing countries, there is still a strong ideological push to promote private sector management, including from the World Water Council," end quote. The Mexican government will host a negotiating session in Geneva Monday, January 23rd, ahead of the March gathering, in a last-ditch attempt to agree on a ministerial declaration for the Water Forum. Negotiations over the declaration broke down last summer, apparently over differences of opinion about the role of the private sector in water diversity. The EU's Working Party on International Environmental Issues will meet Friday, January 20th, to formulate its message for the forum. Civil society groups are urging EU negotiators to deliver a strong message both at Monday's meeting and at the WWF itself. Again, this article was taken from Interpress Service News Agency, written by Stefania Bianchi. You can get more on this issue and this article at ipsnews.net. This has been In the News for January 19th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.